Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. You know, before we start the teaching, which is entitled From Stressing to Blessing, of course, I remember, honey, when we lived in Fort Worth. There are not many hills in Fort Worth. We lived on the top of one. And our house lived was on top. And up, it was a very steep roof. And up on the very point, it was what they call a whirly bird. You know what I'm talking about. And every spring, a bird gets stuck in. And trying to go in and out. And this guy came up. I remember the first guy ever came up to fix it. Because I had to get a new whirly bird. And wind was blowing. And I'm going, brother, is this okay for you to go up there today? He said, oh, yeah. He came down 30 minutes later. And I said, you did good. That didn't stress you out? He said, I'm too blessed to be stressed and too anointed to be disappointed. I did good, brother. So, but before I get into the teaching on blessing, from stressing to blessing, I was reminded by the Lord of something that came to me several years ago that I call the circle of failure.
Mm.
And I think I put it in the notes. I'm not sure if I did or didn't. It may be at the top. Here it is. Circumstances lead to situations, producing problems, spawning worry, leading to stress, creating anxiety, followed by ineffectiveness, resulting in sickness, excuses, and ultimately failure. And I felt stirred of the Lord to say that again tonight, because included in that is leading to stress. Over the years, we've had hundreds, if not more, of believers talk to us about how they were overwhelmed by stress and pressure. In fact, these saints are so blinded by their circumstances that they lose sight of the one whom set them free. They focus on the problem instead of the solution. And that's really the way to get rid of stress. But we're going to talk about that tonight. There's a scripture, really fabulous, that I think covers the seven ways to move from stressing to blessing.
That's it. And it's in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 7, in the Classic Amplified Bible. And it says, brethren, for this reason, in spite of all our stress and crushing difficulties, we have been filled with comfort and cheer about you because of your faith and the leaning of your whole personality on God in complete trust and confidence.
Let's talk about seven ways to move from stressing to blessing. Yeah. Number one, recognize you're living in stress and perhaps with crushing difficulties. The most destructive and sometimes deadly thing about stress is that it slips up on you.
That's it.
You don't realize you're in it until you're in it. Too many people think they're doing what's necessary to keep things going when, in fact, they're running on adrenaline. And they think they're on adrenaline, but they're really on stress.
The adrenaline of stress.
Yep. I'm an expert on this deadly deception because I've been there, done it, experienced it, overcame it, and blessed to be on the other side of it.
Amen.
When I was diagnosed with high blood pressure, years ago, I don't know how many years ago, 25 maybe. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. A coworker let me read a book this thick. She said the title of it was Adrenaline and Stress. Now I will tell you that I read the table of contents. I read the first two chapters and the last two, but I got it. And I understood what it was saying. But I read enough of the book to know that I needed to change. Once I understood the extent to which I was living in stress, and frankly it was most of the time, and it was self-imposed and self-sustaining, that I could make changes, and that's what I did. You know, we may think that we have to do this or that, you know, in order to get by or get ahead. But truth be told, everything we do is a choice we can make, or perhaps a choice We're not making.
It's true.
We're not making.
I heard it said one time before I read this scripture that if you want to know how much you're missed, put your hand in a bucket of water and then take it out. And what's left, that's how much you're missed. But you know what? Sometimes we think that what we've got to do is so important and so crucial that it can't wait. It has to be done right now. Anyway.
We yield to the
tyranny of the urgent.
The tyranny, what we call the tyranny of the urgent.
Yeah. And another good question to ask yourself is, in next year, how incredibly important is this that I'm doing this right now? 1 Peter 3, verse 11, New King James Version. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it.
If you find yourself in a stressful situation at work, acknowledge it, and then ask God to show you how to deal with it. If you've read the book, Two Chairs, then that's one of those things you can talk to him about in the morning.
Amen.
Say, Lord, this is the deal. You know, I need you to tell me how to handle it. The word says, cast my cares on you.
Yes.
You got them. You tell me how to deal with it.
That's it.
And shut up and listen.
We can find our peace in Psalm 119, verse 143. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. As pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands.
In other words, spend more time in the Word and His presence.
That's right.
I realize that a lot of people, even Christians, they want a bottle with a genie in it. But they're dealing with reality and not a television fantasy or some whatever. If your stress is related to finances, a load of debt, and a lack of money, let me assure you that just having more money in and of itself will not solve your problem. But God will.
Amen.
But God will. God can work it out. And He will. Every answer to every question, to every stress, is found in the Word of God.
That's right.
That's where it's at. One more word. It's important because most stress is first manifested by external or outside circumstances before it internalizes. That's why this first step that we're talking about is so critical. Don't tolerate stress, financial or otherwise. Tolerate it, entertain it, think about it, because what you tolerate will expand in your life.
That's right.
It will expand in your life. So let it go. Recognize you got stress. Give it to God. Seek His direction. And then move on. Number two. You've been filled with comfort. And I'm not talking about Southern comfort. But comfort of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I realize that most of the saints here tonight and listening around the world, well, you've never consumed alcohol, perhaps, and you probably don't know what Southern Comfort is. But it's a brand of whiskey. And someone once told me it was the South's way of getting back at the North. And that's that's why I remember the title Southern Comfort. The name stuck with me. But unfortunately, hear this now. There are people who try distilled spirits instead of the Holy Spirit.
All right.
Distilled spirits may numb the situation for a few hours, maybe a day, but the problem's still there.
That's right.
But the Holy Spirit solves it.
Amen. Ephesians 5, verse 18, it warns us, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I think it's important to view that this scripture in its total context, so we get the full value of what Paul is saying here to the Ephesians. In Ephesians 5, starting in 17 through 18, it says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, then we're going to find the spiritual key that brings the comfort, the joy, the strength, the peace, and the direction that we're searching for. In Ephesians 5, verse 19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In other words, I can remember doing this years and years ago, the Lord teaching me. I was in a pretty not very fun situation. And I had a lot of stuff that I was having to do, so I just started singing to the Lord. And, you know, he helped me. And I just started singing and continuing and just lifting myself up out of the mundane of what I was doing into the Spirit. And
but
we
works.
Do it works. The thing I want to read another scripture, though.
I think this
that,
sums
it
up.
It does sum it up. And not only that, but I've often used this testimony of mine years ago to do this very scripture. It says in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4, Classic Amplified, who comforts, consoles, and encourages us in every trouble, calamity, and affliction, so that we may also be able to comfort, console, and encourage those who are in any kind of trouble or distress with the same comfort, consolation, and encouragement with which we ourselves are comforted, consoled, and encouraged by God. I even have a CD on that. You know, on my experiences, because you know what? I'm not the only one that went through them. God used that to be able to say, hey, you know what? You will make it through this, even though it is a very difficult situation you're going through.
Number three, You got plenty to be cheerful about.
That's true.
When it feels as though your creditors are carpooling to your house, or that, you know, troubles have gathered into a strong wind and blowing against your house, spiritual house, when the stress becomes seemingly overwhelming, it's a good time to cheer up, to cheer up.
Yeah, that's unexpected news, huh? Genesis 50, though, verse 21 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for and support you and your little ones. And he comforted them, imparting cheer, hope, strength, and spoke to their hearts kindly.
We can turn our attention away from the outside pressures toward our trust in the one who made heaven and earth.
Amen.
Our perspective will change, and so will our peace factor.
Amen.
It'll change. God says, his word says, do not be afraid. I will provide, and I'll provide for you and support you, and be comforted. You'll be comforted by my imparting cheer, hope, and strength. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In Psalm 94, verse 19, we have another one in the Classic Amplified Bible. In the multitude of my anxious thoughts within me, your comforts cheer and delight my soul. The Living Bible translation.
I like this one.
I know of that scripture says it this way. Lord, when doubts fill my mind, when my heart is in turmoil, quiet me and give me renewed hope and cheer. You know, these are the kind of scriptures that when you're reading this and you're having some real turmoil in your life, you got to know that God is reaching right down and giving you the cheer and the comfort and the consolation in your heart, you know, to be able to get you through any situation.
I just called a visual of you're going through all this and you're in front of the mirror. And, you know, in high school you had, in sports, you have cheerleaders. So you become your own cheerleader. Get in front of the mirror. Let's go, God. We're going to do this today. Greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. There's nothing that we can't handle today. You follow, you direct, and I'll follow. And just rah, 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 ooh. And then give yourself the big victory sign.
When doubts fill your mind, you got to turn to the Lord to cheer you up. John 16:33, Classic Amplified. I have told you these things. I love this. So that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. I like perfect peace. In the world you have tribulations and trials and distresses and frustrations, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it from power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right. If you feel like that you've been meeting these four demons of despair,
yeah,
trials, tribulations, distress, and frustration, you got to know that the Word's telling you to cheer up.
That's it.
To cheer up. Be of good cheer.
Be of good
cheer. And when God tells us to be cheerful in adversity, he wants us to take courage, be confident, certain, and undaunted. That's what the scripture says. Jesus paid the price. And he robbed the enemy of that circle of failure that I talked about at the beginning.
That's right. That he thinks he's wanting to circle
he
you around.
He wants us to circle around in
yeah,
that. And to live
down.
In it. But we don't have to.
That's it.
You may not have the answers, but you can be comforted and consoled that there is an answer there somewhere, and the Lord is capable of helping you find the answer.
Amen. Amen. Fully capable. Psalm 31, verse 24, Living Bible. So cheer up. Take courage if you are depending, if, notice that if, take courage if you are depending on the Lord. What should we be doing? Depending on Him.
Here's the key. When we depend on Him, we don't have to worry about them.
Amen. That's
it's
right.
It's just that simple. And that ought to make us cheer up.
It should.
Number four, exercise your faith by your actions. Seven keys. I've taught this in a full teaching, I think, on Rich Sauce for Breakfast. But we need to exercise our faith by our actions.
That's
Here's
it.
Seven keys. First, what you do in life will be a reflection of what you've learned.
I love this scripture.
You
want to
read it?
Can I?
Sure.
I tell you, this is just mind-blowing, and you need to just almost study this. It's so... Psalm 22, verses 17 through 19. Classic Amplified Bible says, "Listen, consent, and submit to the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge." This is God talking to us. "For it will be pleasant if you keep them in your mind," them meaning the words of wisdom from God, "believing them. Your lips will be accustomed to confessing them," meaning His wisdom, "so that your trust, belief, reliance, support, and confidence may be in the Lord." And I love this because when you're used to, when you're in the Word all the time, and just keep putting it and applying it, putting it in and applying it, putting it in and applying it. When something comes up, your first response isn't going to be, "Oh no, what are we going to do?" It's going to be, "Okay, God, you know what? You're not wringing your hands in heaven wondering what's going on. You know, you knew this was going to happen. Now I need the peace and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to take, you know, over." I think it's just so crucial. And it says it all. I remember applying and then reading this scripture in the Classic Amplified that just explains exactly what He has.
Instead
us
of
do.
Saying, "Oh no," you're going, "Oh God,
yeah, that's it.
You deal with this.
That's it.
Because I'm not worrying about it.
That's
you
it.
Handle it. You direct me. I'll follow your lead."
Hallelujah.
And then just start laughing.
Laugh at the devil.
Laugh at the devil.
And be joyful.
It really aggravates him.
I
he
love
pops
to
another
aggravate.
Prozac when we laugh.
There you go.
Yeah, I like that.
I like it too.
Second,
our greatest desire should be for our deeds to reflect His instructions. That's almost just a come off on number one. Psalm 119, verse 5, New Living Translation says, "Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees." And isn't that our heart cry anyway?
Should be. Third, faith must be in action or it will always be inactive. James 2:17 in the Classic Amplified Bible. So also faith, if it does not have works, deeds, and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power, inoperative, dead.
Fourth, it's a team effort. Faith, knowing that God's word is true, and actions which unleash faith into the natural realm. James 2, verse 22, New Living Translation. "You see, His faith and His actions work together. His actions made His faith complete."
Fifth, you'll be rewarded for the actions you take and consequences when you don't. Proverbs 24:12 in the New Living Translation. Don't excuse yourself by saying, "Look, we didn't know." For God understands all hearts, and He sees you. He who guards your soul knows you knew. He will repay all people as their actions deserve.
Wow.
Strong.
Makes you think.
That ought to provoke us.
Amen. Sixth, our commitment to bring glory and honor to His name will automatically bring success to ours. Proverbs 16:3. This in the New Living Translation, although I do love the Classic Amplified. So I encourage you to read that one too. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed.
Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans may succeed. Should succeed. Could succeed.
No. Nope, it says will succeed.
Seventh, you'll be paid for your faithful actions. Revelation 22:12. Classic Amplified. Behold, I'm coming soon, and I shall bring my wages and rewards with me to repay and render each to each one just what his own actions and his own work merit.
Mm-mm.
Number five, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Oh, are you going to sing for us?
You know the old hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting, leaning. I could sing it, but I'd never be asked to do a music CD. But I do sing.
But the words are wonderful.
They are. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Here it comes. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. That song was inspired by Deuteronomy 33, verses 26 and 27.
Which in the New Living Translation says it this way. There is no one like the God of Israel. He rides the heavens to help you. Across the skies amid majestic splendor, the eternal God is your refuge and his everlasting arms are under you. He drives out the enemy before you. He cries out, destroy them. Hallelujah.
That song was written in 1887 by a man named Anthony Showalter after he got a letter from two of his former pupils saying that their wives had died. That's what prompted him to write Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. When loss and stress pop up, find peace and strength in the Word. Sometimes even the words of an old hymn.
They can come to
sing
you.
It out loud. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen.
Because we have an everlasting commitment.
I love what a friend you have in Jesus. That's another good one. But the point of it is the everlasting commitment from our everlasting Heavenly Father. In John 3:16, it says, this is our promise, it should never get old to us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Our Heavenly Father sent His Son, Jesus, so that we could have everlasting life. Mm. The will of the Father, as manifested through the Son, is talked about in John 10:10.
Hallelujah.
And I really like the New Living Translation of that.
Amen. It says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life.
Regardless of what we're going through,
we just
need to lean.
Amen.
On the everlasting arms.
And then we can have a rich and satisfying life, regardless of circumstances.
I remember years ago in church, leaning, and we go leaning.
Oh, that's right.
Leaning, and leaning, back and forth.
That's it.
You didn't lean on me. Lean on me. Thank you, baby.
Sorry, I thought I was supposed to lean and lean and then lean. Okay.
Number six, put your trust in the only one who will never let you down.
Amen.
When you're feeling stressed out, there are six powerful words which need to be engrafted into your spirit. These words are found in 1 Corinthians 10:13.
Listen to this in the Message Bible. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down.
Hallelujah. Say it again.
God will never let you down. And it goes on to say, he'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. Mm-mm.
God will never let Thetis down.
That's it.
God will never let Judy down.
That's it.
God will never let Joy down. God will never let Fred down. Personalize that scripture.
That's it.
He will never let you down. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Those six powerful words, we need to mentally and spiritually grab a hold of it and never let go. God will never let you down. God will never let me down. Or as I said, personalize.
That's right.
In those moments, go before the Lord and allow Him to provide you with an emotional shelter from what seems to be a blitzkrieg happening around you.
Mm.
All out attack of the enemy. Being confident in the knowledge that God will never let you down.
Hallelujah.
He'll never let you down. There's another part of that verse.
It's very powerful.
That we should encourage us in the midst of any demonic firefight.
It says,
God will never let you be pushed past your limit. God will never let you be pushed past your limit. Now, I know some of you may feel like here and around the world, you may feel like Mother Teresa, who once said, the Lord said He would never give me more than I could bear. Sometimes I'm sorry He trusts me so much. You can feel that way, but the point is, God knows what you're made of.
Amen.
He knows you'll move by faith. And He knows that we should know that He'll never let us down. There have been times in my life when I've said, God, let me learn everything I need to learn in this attack.
Please.
So I don't ever have to learn them again.
Amen. And amen.
Instead of saying, why me during every major assault, learn everything you can so you won't repeat the lesson. And more importantly, view every adversity as advanced study for the greater work that God wants you to do.
That's right.
And the last part of that verse should give us absolute confidence in God's unwavering commitment to us and our future.
Mm.
It says, God will always be there to help you come through it. God will always be there to help you come through it.
Mm.
So no matter the intensity or the duration of the adversity, God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your endurance, and He'll always be there to turn defeat into victory.
Mm.
No matter how great your stress, how weary you are from a lack of rest, God will never let you down. But
we
the
need
focus
to be,
has to be on Him.
That's right. The focus is on Him. And we need to be mindful of Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. This is in the Message Bible. And it says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, He's the one who will keep you on track.
Underline the part of the verse that says, don't try to figure out everything on your own.
Yeah.
That's critically important to our emotional, physical, and especially spiritual well-being.
That's right.
If we try to figure things out, to solve our problems by ourselves, then we don't need God. Simply said, only one of you, one of us, will be working on and through the problems, situation, or attack.
Mm-hmm.
And it's either us or Him. And I remember one time going through an adversity, and someone that I was involved business-wise with was doing things that were wrong. And I remember where I was at. I was in a bathroom looking out the window praying. And the Lord said, get your hands off of it. I said, but Lord, He said, either you can deal with him or I can deal with him. And I said, well, I'd rather you deal with him because that'll last longer than if I deal with him. So as that scripture says, listen for God's voice in everything you do. And remember, God will never let you down. So
the point is, even though you've been praying and you just it's been 5 minutes and you don't have an answer, don't give up. Don't despair. It's coming. Sometimes we have to wait, but you know what? It's coming. The answer is coming.
Number 7, let your confidence in Him replace your stress from them.
There you go.
If God brought you out before, and you know that He has, now's a good time to remember, recall past victories.
That's right.
And praise Him for it. Every time you come through adversity, you should take the time to write it down. You know, how you were feeling during the trial. Did you begin to wonder if it would be okay? And what way did God work things out? Did that build your confidence that no weapon formed against you should prosper? I find in the time when the enemy attacks, the thing that helps me most is praising God for what he's done before.
That's right.
And,
Once that starts to get in there and you start, I mean, if you can read it and go, oh, and you know, think back, you know, testimony, sometimes you hear all the high parts, but what about the low parts when you're going through it and you go, this is tough, Lord, this is, I mean, how did you feel? Did you, you know, how were you feeling going through that? We need to remember that, yes, everybody has felt that way, but God, but God. But God. In the end, when it all turns out right, we forget about some of the things that happened in the middle that we were going, wow, Lord, you know, whoa, and you know, some of the stresses that were going on. We need to remember that to realize that, hey, you know what, this is going to pass and victory will be ours, even if you don't know when.
We strongly recommend you have a victory journal or a miracle journal.
Hallelujah.
And you write down those times that God has truly delivered you,
amen.
Answered your prayers, brought you out, because that will build your confidence more than anything else. And it what it does, honey, is it changes our mentality and our focus from being on the problem to praising him for what he's done before.
Amen.
Because we have the confidence in knowing if he did it before,
he'll do it again. Amen.
And I think as you read these journals, you'll find that peace will come over you.
Yes.
And that you'll relax. You'll be refreshed, renewed, reinvigorated, and all those other good words.
That confidence of knowing that, okay, I may be in the middle of a struggle, but I can have joy because I know that God will see me through. Yeah. In Psalm 71, verse 5, Classic Amplified Bible, it says, "For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth and the source of my confidence."
While having others validate you, believe in you, have confidence in you is very nice. It's not the deal breaker.
That's right.
If you got faith, then you can get confidence. Let me say that again. If you got faith, you can get confidence. In fact, you might write that down. If you got faith, then you can get confidence. And let me add something else. Sometimes it's better that no one shows confidence in you, because once you settle on God's confidence in you, you won't need the assurance of anybody else. If you get their assurance, sometimes you can have a tendency to want to rely on what they're saying, instead of which their confidence could be fleeting, could change in a moment, a day, conversation. But confidence in the Lord will not change.
Amen. You know, sometimes you get used to running back to that, to mom, running back to somebody who built your confidence. Someday that person may not be around anymore. You can't go to them anymore. But if your confidence is in the everlasting arms of the Lord, then your confidence is with you every breath and every step you take. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right.
Ephesians 3, verse 12.
I like this.
Classic Amplified Bible.
I like all of these scriptures.
I know, they're so good. "In whom, because of our faith in him, we dare to have the boldness, courage, and confidence of free access, an unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear."
When our confidence is born in faith, it gives us a boldness. It gives us a boldness in knowing that we can achieve anything regardless of the obstacles we're facing.
Amen. One of my favorite scriptures in prayer for sure. 1 John 5:4, "And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Hallelujah. And verse 5 says, and we will have the petitions that we have, they've placed before him. This is, if he hears us, then we know we have the petitions that we've placed before him.
Faith creates confidence, which births boldness, which produces happiness.
And joy.
Forevermore.
2 Corinthians 7, verse 16. Love to be able to back all this up in Scripture. It's all over the place. New Living Translation says, I am very happy now because I have complete confidence in you.
When we're confident in who we are, what we know, what we're doing, it shows.
Yes, Lord.
It shows. You know, and in a leadership environment, if you have the confidence of the Lord, when you walk in a room, it shows.
And it gives other people confidence. You know, confidence is contagious. When you believe in the Lord and know that He's going to be an answer, you can build somebody up in realizing and help them to realize God is their answer in every situation.
You're right. It's contagious.
It is contagious.
It's contagious.
Faith and confidence also bring healing. Luke 17, verse 19, Classic Amplified. And He said to him, get up and go on your way. Your faith, your trust, and confidence that spring from your belief in God has restored you to health.
And here's great news. Our faith and confidence brings forgiveness of our sins.
That's it. Luke 5, verse 20. And when He saw their confidence in Him springing from their faith, He said, man, your sins are forgiven you.
Hallelujah. Mm. Our faith produces a spiritual confidence that, well, it can build a solid rock of
there
faith.
You. Yes, it can.
It really can.
Faith and confidence. Fear flees.
I like this.
When confidence in God's word shows up. Hallelujah. Psalm 56, verse 3.
See, if you know that you know.
That you know.
That the word of God is true.
Amen.
And you're confessing that word. That gives you a confidence that it doesn't matter what anything looks like, what anybody says, that the word is truth, the word works.
Amen.
And that kind of confidence causes fear to flee.
That's right.
Get on the next bus out of town or whatever.
When you realize the enemy has nothing on you because you have all of God in you, I mean, you can soar over, you can be like Superman. Who's that that went over the tallest building? Anyway, I'm just saying, it does that for you. Psalm 56, verse 3. I've quoted this many times. What time I am afraid, I will have confidence in and put my trust and reliance in you.
Scripture's clear. We're blessed, forgiven, healed, and protected.
Amen.
When our faith and our confidence is in Him. Fear flees, once again. Fear flees when confidence in Him shows up.
Amen.
And see, we can be we can have confidence in knowing that He's listening every time we call on Him.
Amen.
Every time.
Amen. Psalm 86, verse 7 in the Message Bible. Every time I'm in trouble, I call on You, confident that You will answer.
Hallelujah. 1 John 5, 15 in the Message Bible. And if we're confident that He's listening,
yes,
we know that what we've asked for is as good as ours.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 17, 7. In the Classic Amplified Bible, I love it. Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, my recommendation, that last scripture, that you put an asterisk beside it, and that you read it seven times. In fact, it wouldn't hurt you to read it seven times over the next 7 days to really get that down inside of you. Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is.
That's his hope and
what makes a person blessed? The word says a person is blessed whose hope and confidence is in the Lord.
And
that's how you move from stress to blessed.
Lord equals hope and confidence.
That's right.
Anyway.
Because we'll be blessed instead of
stressed. That's right.
When our confidence is in Him.
So we take the stress, like the name of the title tonight, from stressed to blessed. Hallelujah.
And knowing who's got you back in the middle of adversity.
Amen. Is everything. Really.
Makes you laugh at the devil.
Makes you able to laugh at the
devil. That's it.
And that's important to have that kind of confidence.
It is indeed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God is good.
He is all the time.
Glory. That may be a teaching that you want to go over the outline a number of times.
Yeah,
and tomorrow, late afternoon, a copy of the video tonight will be up on the website, and you can actually watch it again.
Amen.
And but the scriptures, get these scriptures inside
of you. So good. That's why we put them out for you so that, you know. And, of course, use it online down in the right hand.
When we first started doing this, we'd put the address, the book, the chapter, and the verse. Well, one day the Lord showed me that people are not going to read that.
They're not going to look it up.
They're not going to look it up. So now we put it out where you got it. Makes it easy. This is called Scripture for Dummies. That'd be a good book. We could do that. Scripture for Dummies.
Hey, that might not be a bad idea. Yeah. But anyway, I think they're written but not called Scripture for Dummies. Okay.
Well, if you prefer, Scripture Keys, my executive assistant is shaking her head in the back of the room.
No.
So we won't call it Scripture for Dummies. We'll call it Scripture for People Who Are Not Smart.
Oh, Harold.
Is that better?
Anyway.
Well, see, here's the deal.
Circle around.
Yeah, I'm just going to tell you what it is. Benjamin Franklin said, we're all born ignorant, but we have to work hard to stay stupid.
That's right.
See,
the knowledge is there.
Ignorant is not knowing.
That's right.
Stupid is knowing and not doing anything about it.
There you go.
So if you know the scripture and you don't do anything about it, then you are a dummy. Okay, I'm going back to that title. I like it. Scripture for Dummies. Life-changing.
Yes, it is life-changing.
You could call it destiny-changing Scripture for Dummies. That's good. Hey, if you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. Up at the top where it says soul seed, just ask God what seed to have you put in the ground. Do what He says. That's all we ever ask. And I want you to make sure you join us every morning at 8:30 Eastern for Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. If you can't listen to it at that time, do the playback.
That's it.
And I don't know that it's going to start tomorrow.
He's been working on a goodie.
I've already got the first 3 days of the week written. And it's going to take a week to do this teaching. I haven't done a week-long teaching. We haven't.
I don't know if we have done one.
We have several times.
A year or two,
but the teaching that I'm working on is seven IMs that define and empower you. Seven IMs. The divine.
The great
empowered.
I am.
It's a great teaching. I'm taking notes on myself.
God is good. He's downloading all that to you.
Well, we want this to be the greatest week you've ever had.
Amen.
For those of you who are in sales, who have more sales this week than you've ever had.
Hallelujah.
Whatever you do.
That's it.
When you wake up in the morning, say, Lord, thank you.
Amen.
Well, before you go to bed tonight. Lord, I thank you. That Monday morning, June 25th, it's going to be the greatest day of my life.
Amen.
I think it's going to be a day of revelatory insight, a day of divine connection, supernatural appointments. I thank you that I'm going to tap into previously unknown opportunities and unused potential. Lord, I thank you. It's going to be that great.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. All right. We love you. We appreciate you.
We do.
Till tomorrow morning at 8:30. God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
Bye-bye.